Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. She had walked 100 miles before arriving in the hill country near Jerusalem, only to discover that what the angel had spoken to her was true. Mary's cousin Elizabeth, soon to be John the Baptist's mom, was pregnant. Here we stand today at the heels of Christmas, and we get to hear not just about one, but two pregnancies. Mary's, of course, and Elizabeth's, her relative, perhaps her cousin. That's right, Elizabeth was no spring chicken. The Bible kindly says she was advanced in years. To me, that's kind of like saying to a short person that they're vertically challenged. The Catechism teaches us to put the best construction on everything, so we'll go with the thinking that age is just a number. But remember, like the Bible says, some are more advanced than others. Also note the other remarkable truth about Elizabeth's pregnancy. She was previously barren. She had no child with her husband Zechariah many a year. At this age, this would be her first and likely her only child. The story leading up to Christ's birth has no lack of miracles. Two angel encounters, two surprising pregnancies, one muted Zechariah, and one baby who leaps for joy when Mary's greeting enters Elizabeth's ear. But there is perhaps a greater underlying miracle, one that I had not previously understood or even perceived until getting ready for this sermon and for Bible study today. It had to do with the place where Mary greeted Elizabeth after that 100-mile journey. Well, at least it seemed to me a miracle, perhaps after digging around in God's Word. There is probably an often overlooked reference in verse 39 of our text today, which says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste," hang on, not yet, stay with me, "into the hill country to a town in Judah." Yes, that's it. But listen to the rest of the text. "And entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." The question that got me digging around is, what town in Judah did Zechariah and Elizabeth live in? And might it mean something if that town had special significance? Using a concordance, that's a Bible reference tool, from verse 39, I was pointed to Joshua chapter 20, verse 7, which says, "So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee, in a hill country of Naphtali and Shechem, in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba," that is, Hebron, "in the hill country of Judah." That should sound familiar from our text today. So Luke seems to be using the same language as Joshua when referring to this region and a town near Jerusalem, in the hill country of Judah. And though he doesn't say it's Hebron, scholars suggest that Hebron is most certainly the town where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived. You see, it wasn't Bethlehem. Or Luke would have just said, she went to Bethlehem. He says so later on, when the baby comes to give birth. And Elizabeth and Zechariah, if they're to live in a town near Jerusalem, it has to be close enough for Zechariah, a priest, to be able to get to work. And Hebron is about 18 miles away, so you could do that in a day's journey. He's not always on duty, probably doesn't have to go every day. The next town closest is a little bit further. I don't know if you do that in one day. So assuming that Hebron was the town where Mary greeted Elizabeth, consider the irony that Hebron is the ancient city mentioned way back in Genesis, where our father Abraham, according to Genesis 13, came and settled and built an altar to the Lord. Then Sarah, Abraham's wife, Genesis chapter 23, died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. And Abraham buried Sarah in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron. Now remember, Sarah is a lot like Elizabeth. Both were old and advanced and aged, and both were barren before the Lord did something, spoke to them through an angel, and made it possible for them to give birth. In Genesis 25, Abraham dies and is buried in the same cave, Machpelah in Hebron. Later in Genesis, we hear of Isaac and Rebekah's death and burial in the same cave. Likewise, Jacob and Leah in the same spot. And if you go there today to Hebron, you can go to the Tomb of the Patriarchs, and they have all those six people mentioned as being buried in that location. It's in the West Bank, so not many people can get over there today. But sometimes tours do go down to Hebron. And underneath, about 35 years ago, they went in and found caves underneath the tomb. Elizabeth, therefore, stands as a witness or a connecting point between the baby Jesus in Mary's womb, recently conceived, and the patriarch Abraham, and the matriarch Sarah, also Isaac and Jacob, Rebekah and Leah. Over their biblical burial plots, or thereabouts, the Savior of Israel was in utero, the Savior of the world. The Savior of you and me was growing and visiting Elizabeth over the patriarch's tombs. We call it the visitation between Mary and Elizabeth, her relative. But related beneath their feet are the ones whom God gave promises long ago to usher in a Messiah who would bless the whole earth. This is what I would call a beautiful time-transcending visitation. Earlier, I called it a greater underlying miracle at work. And that miracle, for those with ears to hear it, is the fulfillment of God's word truly in Jesus. Over what kind of ground will you be standing this Christmas? Will you be spending some time over some biblical location, some spot with biblical proportions? Do you need to fly to Israel and quick? Or will you be home, humbugging the thought of gathering together with people in church, some American spot to sing, "Ah, humbug, it's too crowded." Or will you stand over some plot called Praise Lutheran Church just because your family is making you go? Or will you be thanking God that the Virgin Mary came and stood with a child in her womb in a hill country in which God promised a Savior for all, to the patriarchs and matriarchs and the prophets of old, and to ponder with Mary the mystery of what was growing in her womb, fulfilled by God in His Word. Jesus in Matthew 10 says, "Every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." I hope today that you heard something new, and perhaps maybe something surprising about the visitation of Mary and Elizabeth. Something perhaps that again helps you, like Mary, in her own words, to magnify the Lord and rejoice in God my Savior. It is good for us to keep studying God's Word together like this in Advent, and always as we prepare for His coming, discovering old and new things. Tomorrow evening, we will move from preparing to celebrating. We'll celebrate that miracle which moved from heaven, the place of God, to a manger, the place of a feeding trough, in which a newborn was placed, born for us. Christ has come and will come again. As Mary greeted Elizabeth and John jumped for joy, help us, O Lord, to greet you on tomorrow's sacred eve. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your thoughts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.